Welcome back to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Folks, if you're just joining the conversation, we're trying to figure out who is responsible for helping our young brothers get their lives back on track. Who should put that burden on their shoulders? Who should be the one to lean in and say something? Who should be willing to go the extra mile, push as hard as they can to save an entire generation and ultimately save our communities? A grandfather released a letter on Facebook this weekend. It was a letter of apology to his grandson. His grandson's called Self-Made Ying. His grandson was a drug dealer and he was recently shot and killed in Baltimore. The grandfather apologizes to his daughter and all the mothers that lost their children to gun violence. I'm going to read you a little bit of it and then I'll get to your calls. Okay, 410-319-8888. Grandson, listen to me. This is all my fault. The tragedies that occur in Baltimore City is blood on my hands. When you were young and your father was locked up and I didn't step up and step in for you and others like you who also had fathers that were incarcerated, I left a void in your soul that nothing else but a real man could fill. When I was selfish with my time and invested only in my personal pleasures and neglected to invest in your future, I blindly caused you to seek guidance amongst your peers. Baltimore, my grandson, Self-Made Ying, this is all my fault. So I apologize to your mother and all the other mothers who have sons that I have murdered. I apologize to aunts and uncles and grandparents, sisters, brothers, and many, many cousins that I have left empty-handed. Please, please forgive me. He signed this pop. So what he's essentially saying, older black men who are listening, he's saying, y'all, the problem, it's your fault. If you want to change things, then you've got to step up and not turn a blind eye. When you see young brothers doing drugs on the corner, you need to say something. When you see brothers in that cycle where they're getting suspended, you need to say something. He's saying that right now our communities, the responsibility for saving our communities rests on the shoulders of older black men. Now, some of you don't agree. You're saying we should write off a whole generation. They're not listening to me. I'm Shaniqua Q Public. They are not listening to me. Do they listen to you? Have you tried? 410-319-8888. We have James S. on the phone. James, how are you? James, can you turn your radio down some, please? James, are you here? All right, I'm going to go on from James. I'm going to go to Chuck. Chuck is a new caller from Middle River. Chuck, how are you? Welcome to the family.
Thank you. How are you, Dr. King?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. I agree with your grandfather, and I'm in that middle age. I'm around 48. It is our responsibility to look up to, as a young man, I look up to older gentlemen to see the positive side of where I need to go and to grow. So, yes, I agree with your grandfather. And too, you had a couple younger men that called that had acted real angry.
Yes.
If we set that anger aside or change that anger to something positive, that the young men that they're saying is lost and Reggie said we should write them off. We should not write them off.
Ooh, that's heavy to say write them off. The entire generation is what he said.
You cannot write off a generation that we all created.
Yeah.
Because we've stepped away from family. The young man was he was angry. He got his point across, but he was angry about his point. If he listened to himself without the anger, he would understand that he is causing part of the problem because he's showing that anger. You have to show the younger generation that they say is the lost generation. You have to show them a positive way out.
Right.
You have to show them there is something better. So if they don't see something better, and that's all they know because they're watching TV, listening to music, and all everything else.
Right. Right. But so, then it falls on our shoulders. Would you agree? It falls on our shoulders to do something.
Does,
and I'm saying our, but I'm really talking. I know this is, I'm really talking to the fathers, to the grandfathers, to the uncles, to the older black men in our communities. I'm saying it's on your shoulders.
Right.
Yeah, because we can't seem to be able to do this. I mean, we really can't. Do you notice something before I let you go? I think it's very interesting that the callers are coming at me. But when we start talking about single black women, oh, it's all about black men need to step up. They don't have any men in our lives. That's the, everyone's quick to say that when we start talking about single black mothers. But when I say it's your fault, no, your responsibility, nope. No, it's not our fault, Dr. K. You're wrong. That is a problem. Thank you so much for calling. We're going back to James. James, they said they fixed your phone. Welcome to the show, sir. James, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, would you be kind enough to turn your radios down some?
Yes, hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling again.
Okay, good. Well, a lot of the answers that you got so far is the answer to your question. We always had the streets. The streets been out for years and years, generations and generations. So
Right. They
fall down from one to the next. And the generations, as time go by, the generations getting worse.
Right.
And I'm not from America, but we have the same thing in the Caribbean. You see?
Right. So what do we do then?
The best way that I could see, right, to reach out to these youths, right, is to have like a, open up like a center or somewhere they could come and mingle and play basketball and whatnot.
Okay.
Like
a youth center or a rec center.
Yeah, but okay. Then at the same time, you got two different things going on. You got the 12-year-old to the 18-year-old
right.
on the street, and you got the 18-year-old to the 25-year-old on the street. So it's a very, very difficult situation that we're dealing with, you know. And the youth them is as though they lost, you know. But so we really got to step up, you know. I mean, I go to the store, and they forever asking me if I want to buy weed,
right?
And I keep telling them, nah, I don't smoke. As a matter of fact, I end up telling them I wish I could smoke, but I can't because of my job.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And the one brother that called all year round was talking about leading by example.
Right.
At the same time, these boys see me coming to the corner store all the time. Now they call me Big Bro. You see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying. So they do talk to you.
It's a situation where it's like it's a day by day thing. It's a experience by experience thing. You know, it ain't like just going out on the corners and preaching to them because they don't want to hear that.
Right.
The youths them of today is not like when we was youths. It's worse. So that's what some of the brothers then was talking about, putting themselves in jeopardy by going out to the car and calling themselves, speaking to them. So
Right. It's
a situational thing.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate you, James. Now, what's interesting, folks, is that I feel like we're in this cycle because it seems like every generation talks about how much worse the current generation is. I mean, my parents' generation said the same thing about us. Oh, those Gen Xers, they're just the worst ever. Gen Xers, we said the same thing about the millennials. Oh, they're the worst ever. We're now talking about the Zillennials. They're the worst ever. Well, if they're all the worst ever, then we're never going to be able to turn this thing around. I don't know how we can save it. Apparently, what we have been doing isn't working. So maybe another solution is to have black men, older black men, lean in a little bit more, lean in much harder, instead of focusing on you and yours, as some of you have said, but realizing that those boys out there, they belong to us. We have a responsibility to save our community. They're not listening to me, Shaniqua Q Public. I'm hoping they'll listen to you. We have Judy on the phone from downtown Baltimore. Judy, how are you?
Catching hell today, I have to say.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Every day.
But that's a good thing. But this is what I want to say. I have not yet stood on a bridge and by a river and watched a bunch of black children come down the river in baskets.
Mm.
The children started out in the houses with us.
I love that, Judy.
It's the truth. If you think about it. They didn't start outside first. They started in the house. And who did they start with? They started with the elders.
Mm.
And if the elders are not going to teach the children before they go out and start selling drugs, who is responsible? It is our fault that our children have gone wrong.
Yes,
can't blame white people. You can't blame nobody. Because if you pull out some books right now, slide this book in six children in your family, nieces, nephews, cousins, whoever, and ask them to read. Mm. See if these babies can read. That's where it starts. You have to be the elders.
I like that. I love that image. There are no black kids in baskets coming down the river. They're our kids. Right. They belong to us.
That's all I'm saying.
But if black men are telling me that they're not responsible, where does that leave our community, Judy?
Because they are angry because they know they have not done it the way they should have been doing it. They are in charge of the family. Aren't black men saying that we're the head of the household?
Don't they say that?
Be the head of the household and act like it. There have
you
a good go. Day.
You too. We have Valerie on the phone from Baltimore. Valerie, how are you?
Yep. Okay, thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
If only the men were in the household. The thing is as the father, the grandfather wrote in his letter, the father of his grandson is in jail.
Yes.
And unfortunately, that's the condition of many, many households. So the boys that are out there selling drugs, our sons are of men who are in jail. So what are they in household with a single mom? They are, you know, surviving, and I understand that. You know, that when you go out there, I don't think that a man can go out there and talk to them without offering them something.
Right.
You can't go out and tell them, you have to stop what you're doing. We have to give them something else.
Right.
If that's training, and or in industrial areas, or we have to open up something, we have to organize. And that's what I would like to hear black men saying who are calling in.
To actually give us some plans rather than being so angry, because a number of them are very angry with me, and I get that. I get that.
You're trying to, you're opening up some thought-provoking, you have some thought-provoking questions, and it's not to anger people, it's to get people to see what we can do and talk about solutions.
That's all we need.
And I'd rather hear them call, as the previous gentleman just did, he started with a solution. I agree with what he says, but it has to go further than that.
Right. I agree.
So it's, the kids have a lot of problems, you know, so it's just not saying get out of the streets. It's like, can you do any training, education? We have to give them something.
I agree.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you so much, Valerie. So folks, we're just trying to figure out, what do we do now? What do we do? This grandfather who wrote this letter, which, by the way, broke my heart. He said, now listen to this quote here. When I examine my soul to make sense of my ways, I discover that the lust for power I desire to have is an imprint on the formation of my soul. He's saying that every time he wanted to move forward, all he ever wanted to do was focus on himself. What are my goals? What are my dreams? And not even looking at his grandson. He said, I used to see a new pair of shoes on your feet. And instead of trying to figure out where you got the money from, because in the back of my mind, I knew it, I'm supporting that. I'm complimenting. I'm even envious of how you're living your life. And he said, now I'm wrong. He's lost his grandson to the violence in the street. He said he should have stepped up before. And I'm inclined to believe him. Hey, maybe black men, older black men. How about leaning in a little bit more? 410-319-8888. We have Glord on the phone. Glord, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Dr. K. And there's some interesting information people calling in.
Yes.
But believe it or not, it's all of our problems. You know, I'm not going to put it on no one. I'm an elderly person, never had any kids. But I know what to approach this new generation. Being a community person, they need to know how to approach, because you just can't approach them any kind of way. And once we learn how to approach these kids, some of them you can reach and some of them you can't. In my community, we was trying to we had a school called 218, awesome school for have a rec center. And it's unfortunate the politicians worked against us and didn't open it up, because if we could just say one on that corner, that would have been a plus. That would have been a big plus, but it didn't happen. But that's what needs to happen now. We need to open these rec centers up. We need to have better school teaching, because if we can catch even some of the older ones, we can save. But this new generation, we might lose them, but you want to always start with the younger ones.
Yeah.
But we can still save the ones now, because they think that they can make more money on the corner selling drugs.
Because they are making a lot of money. They're making a lot of money.
Exactly. So this is why I'm always saying, start your own business. Because believe it or not, I know some drug dealers that was making big money. And I said, y'all need to take that money and invest. So they bought on Liberty Road. They bought the whole block. you know, and they're doing well, and they're doing well. It's, you know, it's unfortunate that they had to do these things.
Yes, it is.
Because
the
system is set up to get them back into the system again, you know. So, but until we make the right approach and approach these kids and save them and open up more programs, because this is what's happening through the city. And my biggest thing is we don't own a TV station, we don't own planes, and we don't own all that stuff. But if we can just open these programs up for these kids, and we can lead a lot of them, you know, just like leading a horse to the well, but you can't force them to drink.
No, you cannot. I got to stop you there, Gloria. Thank you so much. I have Apache on the line. Apache, how are you? Calling from Virginia.
Dr. Campbell, I'm angry, Dr. Campbell. I got to admit. I'm sorry. Let me compose myself. I'm a little angry. Okay.
And it's okay. That's why I wanted you to call. I'm glad you called, Apache.
All right. I'm not angry at you, Dr. K. I'm angry at these black men calling and talking about it's not their responsibility. They want to look out for self. You know, and I want to talk to them for a second. I really don't want to talk to you today, Dr. K. I want to talk to the black men. My black brothers that's out there listening to me right now. If it is not our responsibility, then whose responsibility is it? Mm. Is it the white man's responsibility? Is it the Mexican's responsibility? We are responsible as a family, as a whole, as a people. White men care about their people. So much so, they will enslave a whole nother people.
Mm.
So much so that they will take another country. They care about their people. We might not agree with their tactics. But why do we not care about our people? How can you walk past these young men and say, that's not my problem? Or they're unapproachable. Go read a book. Read conflict resolution. Study about how to deal with them if you don't know. Otherwise, get out the way, because there's only two types of people out there. You're either a sheep or a sheepdog. I am a sheepdog. I am a black king. There is no way in the world that I want to have my area of influence, whether it be influence that people that involve with me, you know, that I come across, or people that live around me, and I don't try to influence them to the better, because I want what's better for my people. If you're a person who is out there right now and you don't get that, then you're in the way. You're not being part of the solution. So don't cry about, oh, what the white man is doing to me, what the police is doing to me. Then you need to take those positions. You need to be the police. You need to get that job. You need to get into the government and city hall. And if you're not able to do it because you don't have the skills, the job, or whatever the case, then you need to influence those young people that's out there to do those things that will move us as a people further. Not calling into the Dr. K show talking about, oh, I just care about my wife. Okay, you care about you and your family, and that's it. Sit to the side. Get out the way.
Mm.
Because you're in the way of warriors. If you're in jail, okay, you're behind enemy lines. Got it. What are you going to do now? If you're struggling out there, you don't got no job, okay, you're economically challenged. Got it. What are you going to do now? I'm waiting for my men that's in my community, my fellow black men, to become the warriors that they are. That's what I'm waiting for. That's the kind of calls that I would like to hear.
Well, that's what I'm hoping for. Apache, I'm so glad you called. Folks, I appreciate you. Listen to that. I like what Apache said. Get out of the way, because you're in the way of warriors. You have something going on in your life. Okay, what are you going to do now? What Apache's saying and what I'm trying to get to the heart of is black men, older black men. What's going on? Because these are your sons out here, your nephews, your grandsons. They're not listening to me, Shaniqua Q Public. We need you. So if you're saying that it's not your responsibility, then who is it? Don't worry about it, right? Here's my thing. If you're talking about writing off a whole generation, don't worry about it, because if they continue on this path, if they continue to shoot and kill or get caught up in the system, the warden will take care of them, and then we're going to complain even more. I think we can do better than that. 410-319-8888. We have Lexi on the phone. Lexi's a new caller from Owens Mill. Welcome to the family, Lexi.
Hello, thank you.
Yes, thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I want to push back a little bit on what the previous caller had said.
Mm-hmm.
So you know I'm out here in Orange Mills,
right,
out of the county, right? And I'm not black, but I have bought drugs in the city.
Okay.
And what's going on is my fault too, right? Because I'm contributing to the situation.
Yes, you
and,
are.
And being in the county, you know, I know that what's the violence going on in the city is my problem.
Right.
But to be out in the county and act like it's not my problem because it's somebody else's problem, that is part of the problem as well.
Right.
And I just wanted to push back a little bit on the idea that it's a black male problem because it's all of our problems.
Well, I'm glad you called. You said you live in the county, but you come in the city to buy drugs. You're not a person of color. You're white.
I work in the city, but I mean, but anybody who's coming in the city, contributing to the economic situation,
is your problem too.
The criminal justice system,
the
criminal justice system that led to this young man being without a father who that put his father in prison. Because I mean, right now, I mean, we're talking about legalizing marijuana in the state, and what's going to happen to the economic system that's already in place?
Right.
Are these young black men going to continue to be criminalized even though marijuana is legal? You understand?
Yeah.
What I'm
so
saying?
I know what you're saying.
It's
and are they going? Are they going to start pulling up these sentences and letting them out for black men who are in jail for marijuana, something that's now legal in so many states? Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. Thank you so much for calling, Lexi. Appreciate it. We have William on the phone from Severn, Maryland. William, how are you?
How you doing, Dr. K?
I'm doing well.
I'm like Apache. I am disturbed with what I hear with our brothers, our fathers, and not taking responsibility to our older men. In the African nation, and I'm glad Apache said something about warriors, because in the African nation, you know, the tribe leaders took the men and took them out to hunt and to war. What are we doing? For our young men, we're not taking them out nowhere to become warriors.
Right.
And I still think today they still need to know how to eat off the land. Because when stuff is gone, it's gone.
Right.
I mean, when you have this economy like it is today, but then what happens when it's not like this? How do our young men know how to survive? They don't.
Mm.
They only know how to survive what they learn off the street.
I agree. Thank you so much for calling. Folks, we're going to leave it here for just one second. When I come back, let me tell you what order you're in because I don't want you to hang up. I'm going to Anaje, then to Ann, Diane, Brown from Sandtown, and Dwayne. And there's still a line opening for you. 410-319-8888. Folks, black men are calling and telling me it's not their responsibility to help save our community. Yes, they said it here on the show. And for many of us, that is appalling because if black men don't lean in to save our young black boys, then who will? 410-319-8888. Welcome back to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. I can actually say that this is probably the first time on this show where I have been deeply disappointed in what I'm hearing. I am hearing black men call me and tell me that the young black brothers here in this city, it's not their responsibility, that we should just write off a whole generation, that I only have to be focused on my children and my wife and my family, and what's happening in the street doesn't have anything to do with me. Let me tell you this, folks. The stuff that's happening in the street, it's going to bleed through your door. Your family's not safe unless we're all safe. You can't be comfortable unless we're all comfortable. Whatever happened to that notion that we are in this together? Come on, folks. I'm talking in particular to black folks. You're telling me that we don't have a responsibility to save the younger generation? They're not listening to me. I'm calling myself Shaniqua Q Public. They're not listening to me. I walk up, I try to talk to them. They are not listening to me, but they may listen to you. Brothers, I'm talking to you. You need to really consider leaning in. You're telling me that they're too dangerous, that they're out of control, that they're not listening. You know what? Someone probably described you in the same way, and you survived. How did you turn the corner? Even just telling them that might be enough. We got Anaje on the phone driving in on 83. How you doing, sir?
Hey, Dr. K. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
And I felt compelled to call in because I had called in when we had the discussion about the Reverend at the Aretha Franklin homegoing service.
Yes.
And talking about single mothers. And like you said, a lot of us men called in.
You remember that? Hey, well, you were mad at me then.
I wasn't mad at you, but I was one of them. I was definitely one of them that called in. And, tried to put the point that we are needed in the family. And you're right, we're needed in the community. And this is the thing that I think we're missing. We're missing some of the solutions. There's a lot of, and like the gentleman who spoke after Valerie saying that, you know, there was a bunch of drug dealers that made a lot of money and invested in buying up properties. And that's one thing that we see that's going on in this city is a lot of construction.
Right.
And our kids don't know how to drive backhoes, mini excavators.
That's true.
They don't know how to weld. And community centers are all nice, but if it's not teaching a skill, I don't think you can intercept these kids and bring them out of that criminalization of the drug game. And like the young lady said, when they do legalize marijuana,
yes,
and decriminalize it, what are our kids going to do? What are they set up for?
Yeah.
Because, you know, now it's pretty much the pipeline is usually child support, and they have these young babies that they've created and have been born into the same ailment that they have experienced. And now the criminalization starts with the lack of paying child support.
Right. It just starts all over again is what we're talking about, Anaji, all over again.
Yeah, we definitely need to get these kids out. I don't know, maybe someone can start a program and outreach these kids to get them on different local farms and teach them how to operate some of these construction equipment. Because one thing is certain, they're going to keep on building, and they need people to do that.
Thank you so much, Anaji. Glord was saying the same thing, folks. We're talking about real solutions to break the cycle of poverty and to break the cycle of violence. Black men, 410-319-8888. You tell me it's not your responsibility to save our young black brothers? Really? It's not your responsibility? So who does it belong to? Because you complain when black women step up and you say we don't have a black man in our life and that's the reason why they've gone astray. Well, you know what? You can be that black man. You can actually lean in. And you're telling me that it's not your responsibility? I'm kind of surprised about that. We have Ann on the phone. She's a new caller. Ann, welcome to the family.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, Dr. King. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling.
I'm good. I'm going to try to make this quick.
Okay.
I have so much thoughts in my head at this moment. But two things that you said that disturbed me. One of the things is that, yes, people are calling in and saying that it's not their responsibility. But then there was one guy that called in and said that that you kind of said that he was a role model because he went through the incarceration process and, he's a role model. For me, I don't think he's a role model.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think role models should be those that, I sold drugs on the street and I was in jail and now I'm out. You're not a role model. You're an example of what role they should not take.
Mm.
So to just have that as them being role models, and they're the ones that's speaking to the young people because they can relate. It's the problem is that we need to change the narrative. You should not just be relating to those who have been incarcerated and those who have been, have sold drugs before.
Right.
No. We need to have those older and younger people, especially young ones that are in these HBCUs, colleges, that are being successful.
Right.
Success does not come with a dollar sign. It comes with the fact that you did not take that role.
Right.
The fact that you stuck with school and did the best that you can doesn't mean that you were an A student, but you did what you could do and that you decided to further your education or you decided to not further your education. Maybe you're holding on a job and maybe you have some type of skill. So with that said, I'm sorry, but I don't consider you a role model if you've been locked up and that you were not there to raise your children and therefore they became parents at a young age also, and they're not raising their children. The grandmothers are raising them. The schools are trying to save them. And it's like, and the streets are getting hold of them. So my thing is, you need to take some responsibility for maybe while you were doing what you were doing and doing your time, you weren't there for yours.
Right.
And I hear it all the time where the kids are like, my father's locked up. You have a bunch of kids that are emotionally disturbed, traumatized, and the fact that they are dealing with these situations. The number one problem for me is that they need to bring back trade school, number one.
Right, that's what somebody said earlier.
Everybody is not about the book smarts. It doesn't work for everybody.
Right.
Number two, they need to have exposure to something else. What that something else is, I can be on this phone for another 4 hours to tell you. But it's something other than what they're seeing. You turn on the news, you get the 1,300 block of this, the 300. Somebody's dead. I don't even think there's enough people left in Baltimore City, the amount of deaths that we have every
right, that are reported all the time, right, Ann?
That's all you're hearing constantly.
Well, you know what? Let me say this, Ann, because I want to say first, thank you for checking me on that. I appreciate that. What I was trying to think about is that young brothers on the street, could they receive some type of mentoring from brothers who've been there? Hey, I've been there. I got locked up. This is not the path you want to get on. That's what I was thinking. They can tell them, hey, I've been down this road. This is not a good road for you to go down. That's why I was thinking of, hey, if you've been down this road, can you tell them before they get down there? But you're right. We do need other men as well. Thank you so much, Ann. Bishop Patrick Williams checked in from Facebook Live. He said, Dr. K, I do agree that it's all of our responsibility, but I do think our young men need to see and hear more success stories from young men their age. Some don't see youth who look like them, who may have done some illegal things, but turn their lives around. Be mentored by the older men and even by some of those their own age. That's another idea, folks. How about young brothers? What else are you doing? Devon Gill said it's the responsibility of all the adults who look like them to lead them to be better. Reinforcement works best when it happens across settings. Black men should lead this, though, as any person learns best socially from a person that is most like them. We have Diane on the phone. Diane, welcome back.
Hey, how you doing, Dr. K?
I'm doing well.
Didn't I tell you a couple of months ago?
Yes.
What did I tell you?
Well,
I said, when you get to that part about black men stepping up, doing their business in the community, what they're supposed to do. I told you they was going to say that.
They were coming for me.
I told you because the thing about it is we have not heard from, let's be honest, we haven't heard from slavery. We haven't heard from Jim Crow or the civil rights.
No, we haven't.
On all the other issues that we have. We have not heard. Black men have not heard. They are hurting just like black women are, but they don't see that because there's fog. And somebody else is writing their narrative, telling them that although you done made it and you out there in Prince George's County or whatever other county that you done made it, you don't have to come back to your own community where you came from that brought you up, nurtured you, and put you where you at today. Black men stand up because the Bible said so. The Bible said the black men are over top of the women, children, and seniors. And they know that. Black men know that you hurting, we hurting too.
Yeah.
Black women are hurting just like you are.
We are hurting. The community is hurting.
Yeah,
the community.
But the women, the thing about it, we can't just get up and go like the men do and turn our backs. We got to stay there. That's why the community has survived, because of the women. If not, it would be more murders than what we got. It's sad to say. We got 200 or something?
216.
But if it wasn't for the black women, it would be more than that. It'd probably be 1,000 per day. You got women.
I mean, that's what we're trying to get to. That's what we're trying to get to,
Diane.
And the
lady that was called before, she said that the men that's been incarcerated can't be. Yes, they have to be the role model. Because, see, they can tell the young men not to do the same thing.
That's what I was thinking. They can at least say, hey, I've been down that road before. I don't know. It's kind of like, you know, when I want a mentor, someone who's had the job that I want to get, you can tell me some of the pitfalls.
Yes.
I'm just thinking a man who has been formerly incarcerated, because so many of our black men have gone that road and have been able to get out and turn their lives around. Can't they tell young brothers, hey, you don't want to do this because it's not going to be a good end to this. You don't want to be in prison.
And the men that have never been there, they have a role too to be right on that stage with the
and here's another option.
Another
this is the
side.
Option for
yes.
you. All right, thank you so much.
You're
Diane
welcome.
I have Chaz on the phone. Chaz is a new caller from Baltimore County. Welcome to the family, Chaz.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Well, I agree with you 500%.
Thank you.
I'm gonna tell you what I did. I basically, me and my cousin, we got some flyers out and I did a lecture and I just gave them out in certain areas in Baltimore. And like 400 people showed.
Wow.
So a majority of them was young. And I showed a PowerPoint presentation. I showed videos how I don't say black, I say Nubian. The Nubian Wall Street, all across the country.
I like
we
that.
We was making $38 billion.
Oh, yeah. Whew.
As
they burn that thing down. They burn that thing down.
No. Not only that. Not only Tulsa. They had it across the country.
Please.
When they integrated, when the Department of Treasury said, okay, them Negroes making too much money. Their dollars turned 8 to 16 times in that community. So 4 years later, they integrated. because of the money.
But I wonder if you get into what King said about that integrating into a burning house.
Right. I applaud Dr. King because he realized, he even said he was against the civil rights movement. He realized you sitting next to a lunch counter with somebody, you going to the same bathroom, that's not helping the economics.
No, it's not. I want to say this, Chad. So I'm not going to hang up on you. I want to say this to people who are shocked about the Dr. King. Folks, you need to go back and take a look at Dr. King's speeches after 1965.
Exactly.
When he starts looking at Vietnam and he starts dealing with the Poor People's Campaign, saying, you know what? Sitting at the same lunch counter is not going to put money in people's pocket. It doesn't change your economic situation. So, Chad, thank you.
Dr. King's third eye open.
Oh, yeah. It's about time.
His pineal gland open.
Yeah.
So, and I found out Baltimore City in 1954 was a high filtration of fluoride in the water that decalcified your pineal gland to make you dumb down. It was all by design.
Long-range plan is what you're talking about. Long-range plan.
Right, but basically, I want to start like Nubian Nation and have an apprenticeship program. And 390 signed up. I said I need 1,000 people. That's $100 a month. That's $100,000. 5 months at $500,000. 10 months a mil. Have people in home service, food, shelter, transportation, apprenticeship program. Teach the brothers who got felons a vocational skill.
There you go. I like that. Thank you so much, Chaz. We have Brown from Sandtown. Brown, how are you?
I'm doing good, Dr. K. Brown from Sandtown.
Yes, sir.
So you're sending the men, the black men, out into the streets with no resources.
Mm-mm.
Huh? See, it requires wraparound services.
Yes, it does.
To clean this thing up. See, we got to be wise when we say, go out there and make a difference.
Right.
We saw what happened to the Dawson family.
Mm.
We saw what happened to the community activists at Park Heights.
Yeah, that's true.
They went out there and
tried. Oh, man, Brown.
They went out there and they tried to make a difference, to move the crowd, to move the drug boys, to tell them you don't have to do that. One of the first things you have to understand that the black man is already struggling with the family that he already has.
Mm.
How can he jump over that family and then try to take on another mission? He's not equipped to do that without the resources.
You're right.
This is why the mayor, they must find a way to eliminate the felony. They have felonies that cannot be expunged.
And they can't get jobs.
That's holding them at bay.
Yeah.
Why don't the mayor open up the night schools? Carver, Westside Emerson Skills Center, Maryville. Work with parole and probation in the state's attorney office. Incentives them to a trade of their choice.
I like that.
You see, these are solutions.
Right.
That we need to think about instead of putting the black man in harm's way. Because we got to be very vigilant. We're dealing with bipolar, mental illness.
Yes, we are.
Drug addiction, abuse. It's not just that simple that you're going to go out there and grab them by the hand and have nowhere to take them to.
I like it. You know what, Brown from Sandtown? I like you saying this because you're not saying it's not my responsibility. You're saying in order for it to succeed, we need a bigger plan. We need wraparound services. It's not that black men are responsible.
Services.
We need wraparound. I like that. Wraparound services. That idea of the night school and sentencing them to a trade of their choice. That way you can get you a job and then you can prepare and you can take care of your family.
You see it, Dr. King.
Oh, I like that. Thank you so much, Brown. We have Dwayne on the phone from Baltimore. Dwayne, how are you?
I'm great. Hey, Dr. King, I appreciate that person who just called and commented because I was going to say something right along those same lines, but I'll just go to the next item on my list. everybody, let's not have black and white thinking about the struggle, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is that everybody is contributing, okay, where they can. Not everybody can go out there, just like your previous caller just said, and just walk up to folks and start trying to preach, songs of, the key of life to folks. Because, folks, there's not all young people trying to hear that. You know what I'm saying? we got to be, just like he said, we got to be intelligent about about that because not everybody want to hear the keys of life. You know what I'm saying? And especially they may not want to hear from somebody who don't know how to spit it the way they want to hear.
That's true, too. That's true, too. You
know? Now, but I thought I'd say that the struggle has many different fronts, okay? There are some people who are, everybody is in the struggle and everybody is doing, if you're doing something positive in your life, okay, you're an example. People are seeing what you're doing. Young
right.
people are seeing you come down the street, and they're looking at you, and they say, I either want to be like that person, or I don't want to be like that person.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you may not be able to walk up to somebody and give them the keys of life, okay, but you can be an example. You can pick up the trash out there on your corner or on your
right.
front of your house or the curb and keep your neighborhood clean and stuff like that. So the young people see that and they say, oh, we should do that too. We should keep the neighborhood clean. Things like that, you know what I'm saying?
I like that.
And,
I like that.
Yeah, and last but not least, you know, and I hate to be the foil once again, but not everybody can be saved.
Mm. Okay, so you know what? You see, and I knew you were going there. I knew you were going to end there.
No, because we have to listen, we can offer the manna. Okay, but that don't mean, just like your previous caller said, that the person want to take the manna.
Right.
Okay, because that person may not be in a place where they even understand what the manna is.
Right. Or they're ready to give up the lifestyle.
Exactly.
To build towards something else. Yeah.
That's right, because we can't forget about the prodigal sons now. All the prodigal sons and daughters out there who they know they probably shouldn't be doing what they're doing, but they're doing it anyway because, hey, I'm just trying to live my life, brother.
All right. Thank you so much, Dwayne. We have Howard on the phone from Hartford County. Howard, how are you?
Good. How you doing, Dr. K?
I'm fine. Thank you for joining the conversation.
Yeah, I think it's the responsibility of every brother out here to do something. Some way, some form. I mean, I could come with a small example. There's a young brother that lives in the neighborhood who's good friends with my son. He's 17 years old. I'm in my mid-50s. So I saw him at the market. I said, Troy, oh, you got the job. Yeah, Mr. Howard, I got the job. I said, well, Troy, you got the job, so now you got to keep the job.
Right.
And I offered, and I'm saying this, I offered to basically pull your pants up. You need a belt? Because every time he was walking and doing his little duties, he's pulling his pants up.
Right.
And I get back to if we don't do it, who's going to do it?
There you go.
I've been on that side of the street. I'm 100% legal now, but I think we got to talk to him. But part of talking to him, you have to have some type of relationship with that individual. A stranger walking up to somebody, I don't want to hear what you got to say.
Right.
But if you have a relationship with your nephew, cousin, somebody, say, hey, man, you know, there's got to be a better way.
And that's what the grandfather was saying. The grandfather who wrote that letter that started this whole conversation is regretting that he didn't say something to his grandson, that he turned a blind eye. Thank you so much for calling, Howard. We have Michael on the phone from Reisterstown. Michael, how are you?
Hey, how you doing? Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for calling back.
I was listening that with what a couple of people were saying. I think Brown from Sandtown and different ones. I myself just moved from Baltimore maybe about 3 months ago, but in the community I come from, I sold myself so much, you know, into people's lives, especially the younger people. I'm a 55-year-old dad, never drank, never smoked, never drug, never got in trouble as a youth because of the parents, you know, that I had, I followed their footsteps. And even with my children, I have three still in college, one working for 21 years old, working for NASA, the other one, the NSA and everything. So the community that I was living in, you know, I participated in everything just to help the young people see that they can live a good life. But my biggest struggle was not the young people, it was the older people who kept saying that I thought that I was better than them. And I'm saying, no, I'm not saying that I'm better than y'all. I'm just trying to keep these young people on the right track. And you know what I mean? And I mean, it got so bad where my family set me down and said, Dad, these people don't deserve you. We got to move. I didn't want to move because my house was paid for. But when you live around folks that attack you because of your life, that you've never been in jail, your children not going in and out of prison. You know, it was so sad where people just, some adults are the worst things in some of these kids' lives.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Michael. We have Leroy on the phone from Baltimore. Leroy, how are you?
I'm fine, Dr. K. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
That's good. One thing I want to try to put in there, Dr. K, is that vocational education at a younger age, around elementary school, should be enhanced.
So vocational, and so what, middle school, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, in addition to going to class, they should also take some type of trade, is what you're kind of thinking about.
With pay.
Oh, okay. So starting off early where they're making money early on, because it is a different way for them. They're making money through their work at school. I like that idea. Thank you so much, Leroy. Folks, we're talking about whose responsibility is it. 410-319-8888. I have a little bit of time left. I want to make sure I try to get through all the calls, so I'll make the calls quick for you. El Shaka Rod Hannibal L. How are you? Can you turn your radio down, sir? It's E Shaka Ra. How you doing, sir? All right, we're going to cut him off. We're going to keep on going. We have Tavon on the phone from West Baltimore. Tavon, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
I'm glad a couple of these people called before me because I was fired up. Because I turned the radio on when you first said some black gentleman said it's not their responsibility to help.
That's a few of them
young
said
black
that.
Men. So they kind of extinguished my fire a little bit. But Brown from Sandtown, if I knew you, I would give you a hug. Like, he's right on point as far as the resources and things of that nature. But we can't stop there. We haven't always had the resources. But the same way, when people find the resources when they want to commit negative activities, we can find some resources to do something positive.
Right.
We can't always allow people to tell us no and it stops there.
Right.
We would have never accomplished anything. And as far as people doing well and leaving the area, sometimes people, and I tell my wife, because when you're doing a little bit better, people want to steal from you.
Right.
People want to harm you or degrade you as if you're doing something. But we work hard to obtain the things that we have, the little that we do have. And when people start to threaten that, they force your hand. Like, you have to move out.
Right.
But as far as the young ones being our responsibility, they are our responsibility. The lady that was saying people that went to prison can't be the role models. I understand her point, but I disagree, because one of my role models growing up was a former, he was a convicted felon, and he taught us so much about how to stay away from that life.
Right.
And because it works both ways. You can have the people that never been to prison or never been in trouble, and you can have the ones that have. They can speak from both sides of the perspective. We can't shut anybody off. Anybody that's willing to help, we can't shut them off.
All right, I'm going to stop you there. Thank you so much, Tavon. I appreciate it. We have Sean on the phone. Sean's a new caller from Baltimore. Sean, welcome to the family.
Thank you.
What's your comment, sir? Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I'm calling because I've been listening to your show for a while.
Thank you.
And we keep trying to put the same Band-Aid on it.
Mm.
Men this, men that. We're a family. We're a tribe. Men can't fix this problem. Women can't fix this problem. We, together, everybody, from the convicted felon to the bum on the corner to the successful business, we have to do this because we're the ones that put us in this situation to begin with.
Right.
We allowed outside influences to change our family demographic, and until we get that back, this is going to be a round and round type of thing.
But do you think in this particular instance with this grandfather who wrote this letter, I mean, does it hold any water for you at all? This grandfather saying, you know what, I'm sorry for what I did. I should have done more.
He should have done more. Grandmother should. What I'm saying is, we all try to.
Should have done more.
Pick one instance.
Right.
It's not one instance. This is all cumulative.
Right.
We never get to the answer because we all try to find one magical cure to fix this problem. One problem didn't get us here. It's cumulative.
Right.
You got to cumulatively fix the problem versus trying to do one thing. If I did one thing, it'll all be perfect. That never works for any problem.
All right.
It's always a series of things we have to do.
All right. Thank you so much. We have Ishak on the phone. His phone got fixed. How are you, sir?
Yeah, peace and blessings to you and the listening audience. Ishak around Hannibal. I want to run it off real quick. I work with Rites of Passage Program, Egg Bay, a Coca Ring. That's a men's society. And I also work with Roots of Scouting, where we're developing a Rites of Passage Program. I can't believe somebody that call themselves a man could call up and say it's not their responsibility to raise up boys to be men.
Yes.
That is just blew me away. That is just utterly out of this world. If it's not your job to help boys grow up to be men by setting an example, if you don't get involved with their life, at least just set an example and you right. be a positive example in their life. When I was growing up, I had a father, but we would go over to a Carlton Square baseball field. My father would go over there with us and four or five other boys from the neighborhood that maybe didn't have fathers. They would go with us, and my father didn't have no problem with that. We would go places, do things like that. And it's the same. Every generation got to step up to the plate. You can't hide in the house because it's going to come through your house.
That's what I'm saying. I got to stop you there, Ishak. I'm so sorry. Antoinette, Greg, Paul, I will not be able to get to you. Folks, thank you so much for your attention today and for the conversation. I do want to send out our condolences and our prayers to that family who lost their grandson. We talked about the grandfather in his letter. We did not provide the names on purpose, but we definitely send you our prayers and our thoughts. And we understand you, Pop. And we were just happy to share what you said. We're going to leave it here for right now. Today with Dr. K's production of WEAA. The show is produced by Justina Pollard with assistance from Ty Rice, our intern, Deja Edwards. We had Andre Melton and Charlie and Ty Mack in there on the board. Stay tuned. Up next is For the Culture with Faraji. Remember, folks, here on Today with Dr. K, your voice matters. Your opinion matters. We are telling stories that matter. We're here for you. We're listening. Because if it has your ear, you better believe it has our attention right here on Public Radio WEAA 88.9 FM. Absolutely the voice of the community. Make an appointment. Meet me back here tomorrow at 3 p.m. Let's talk all over again and keep it here for a quick update from MTA.